There are three things that give us life, and that's food, water, and air. It's difficult. It's impossible to live without them. Food, water, and air are the three things that give us life. It's a trinity of things. And I've seen in the earth there is a trinity to everything, because the trinity of God created all things. And God said, let us create, let us make mankind, let us create the world. And the three are one. And God created all things. That's pretty simple, right? Say, God created me. You're going to help me preach this morning, all right? You're going to help me preach, and if you don't, then I'm going to come and get the one that is preaching the less, and I'm... We're going to get a close-up. Say, the Lord God, He's with me at all times. I bless Your name. And there are three things that give me life. Food, water, and air. Food, water, and air. And where do we get that? Well, we eat. How many like to eat? Anyone like to eat? Anyone enjoy eating? Anyone thinking about eating as soon as you walk out those doors? Eating? One of you is honest. We like to eat, but we not only like to eat, we have to eat. And anyone ever get thirsty? We don't only want to drink, we have to drink. And anyone like to breathe? You ever choked after you have eaten on something and you couldn't breathe? You find out how necessary it is to breathe constantly. Not periodically, but constantly. Well, John 6:35, Jesus is called the bread of life. And He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I am that word. That's what Jesus said. In John 4:10, He's called living water. Living water. He is the living water. In Genesis 2:7, He's called the breath of life. He's food. He's water. He's breath. He's everything that you need. Now, I want you to say that, but I want you to believe that. He, Jesus, is everything. He's really the only thing. Say it. He's the only thing I need. Now say this. Say, there is no other God but God. No other Christ but Christ. No other life but God in Christ. Christ in God. And they in me. Jesus said, I in you and you in me, because you can't bear fruit on your own unless you abide or remain in me. So we have to exist on those three principles of life. We need food, we need water, we need air. And God is the fullness of that. So that sounds great, but what happens when you fall into a time of pain or difficulty or uncertainty or just, oh, God of heaven, what is going on here? How do you figure it out? How do you work it out? Paul said something in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. The old King James says it like this. He says, I beseech you, or I urge you, by the mercies of God, by the mercies of God, interesting terminology, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, how many are holy? Well, in ourselves, not one. But in Christ, we are the righteousness of God. You know, a lot of times people doubt the power of God because they can't figure out God. They get angry at God. They get upset at God. Some really do. Some use it as an excuse because they don't want to do the one thing that really changes everything about that power that works in you, changes your mind. And Christ is the fullness of all those things. He's the food we need. He's the water we need. He's the breath we need. He really is. And the reason He is because He's God. He's the only. He is God. He is Alpha, Omega, the first, the last, the beginning, the end. He's all of that. But in order for that power, those scriptures, that word of life, to be a word of life and not just a word on a book or in a Bible, is You have to become one with that word. And God's given you an incredible gift that allows that to happen. And it's what we hold on to the most. It's an incredible gift that God has given to every single one of us. Pain can be painful. And pain can last a very long time. Especially the pain of an experience. Could be the pain of death of a loved one. We've experienced that, all of us pretty much, more than once. The pain of being rejected, the pain of being hated, the pain of being talked about, the pain of being depraved, and the list goes on and on and on. I said Sunday last, there's a lot of ugly in the world. I choose to seek for the beauty in the world. Because the point is to all things, Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good. Now, there are some people that believe that, and there are others that just don't. And they don't based on the experiences that they have. But the real power of pain isn't in the matter, in the event. The real power of pain is in the memory. I mean, we can have pain for a second. You ever had a sharp pain? You just, ow! And then it's gone. Anyone experience that? Now, if that pain lasts forever, ow! Like a kidney stone, bad thing. But not that I have any experience with that. I do. And preaching at the same time. But when that pain leaves, it's, sweet relief. Jesus is everything that reconciles all the pain you've been in and experienced, but you can't do that. You may even lay your life down for someone like Jesus did. You could lay your life down like he did. You could die for someone. But you can't do what he did, because what he did was redeem you, forgive you, and only his blood was holy. And the one thing that he did many things, but the one incredible thing is he didn't just lay his life down for you, he gave you his life. He didn't just give his life for you, he gave you his life. No one can do that. No one can give you their life. They may lay it down for you, but they can't give it to you. In order to be born again, the word says you have to believe this. You have to believe that he that is born of God is a new creature. A new creature. Not someone just forgiven. We can go that far. We can go as far as being forgiven, okay? And then we can take the next step that I'm going to do better, okay? I'm going to be forgiven. I'm going to do better. But let me prophetically speak to you. There is a generation that God has raised up today that are going to talk like Paul did. They're going to say things like, I have put on Christ. When I was baptized with him, I put him on. Paul was as bold to say, it's not me, you see. It's Christ, you see, living in me. Pretty bold statement, but he made it. He died for it, but he made it. He lived the power that he believed. And this was it, because he lost his arrogance. And he makes that clear. He said, a thorn was given to me in my flesh. He said, and I asked God 3 times to remove it. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. Let's check this out. What empowered Paul wasn't the revelation that he had, it was the humility that he bore. That's what empowered him. Because the great gift God has given to every single one is the thing we value the most, and that's our will. It means a lot to everyone. It's our will. It's our treasure. Our will. And if God does things that satisfy our will, then we consider him God faithful, God present, God holy. But if he doesn't, then we question, if things happen to us, whatever it is, whatever the pain is, many times we struggle with that pain for a lifetime. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, or hey, brothers and sisters, come on, get on with it. I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your body a living sacrifice. You're dead unless Christ is in you. And the word makes that very clear. If Christ isn't in you, the body is dead because of sin. All of sin falling short of the glory of God. So there's a part, a big hole in everyone, no matter how much money, how much fame, how much whatever it is they have, there's a hole in you, a vast hole that only the fullness of who Christ in you is can fill up. And until then, until that hole is filled up, no matter what happens, your peace, your confidence is always going to be askew. It's always going to be all over the map. No matter what. I've had the blessing, the honor, and the pain of dealing with a lot of people on a lot of levels of platform, from people that have very, very little to people that seems like they have the world. People that are happy to have a few bucks people that have billions of dollars. And I've had the honor and the pain of being able to minister and to present day deal with all kinds of people on all different levels. And I found one thing. There's only one thing that gives me the power to deal with that, to deal with the pain, to deal with the privilege, to deal with the honor, and to deal with the weight, is I have to die. I have to die. You have to die. You have to consider that if you're born of Christ, you are a new creature. The old has passed away, and all things have become new. That's what helped Paul. How did Paul do what he did? Because he took his will. Your will, he took his will and he did something with it. Your will wasn't given to you to lead you. Your will is an offering to be given. Jesus said it like this. He said, if, big I if you are going to follow me, if you're going to do it, you have to lay down your life. We think that's difficult. Well, let me tell you something. Your life isn't yours. Your body isn't yours. You may think it is, but tell me when you bought it. Tell me when you made it. Tell me where you got it from. Know you not, you are not your own. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. So we get hurt. We go through pain. We get angry with God because we're brother or sister or father or mother. And someone hurt our brother. Someone hurt our son. Someone hurt our daughter. Excuse me. He is the father of them all. You're not telling God anything that he doesn't know. They hurt your daughter. They hurt your son. His son. His daughter. He is father of them all. We forget that. Pride, arrogance, because we can't get over ourselves. Because in order to walk in the power and the fullness of God, in order to get over the pain, you have to surrender the gift God gave you so you can receive the fullness of deliverance. And that's your will. Jesus, how did he do what he did? How did he get past all the ugly of mankind? He not only saw it from heaven, he saw it from the earth, being in a body just like yours and mine. No difference. God made sure there was no difference between his body and our body. Same body. Same body. And he literally said, I am becoming you so you can become me. I'm laying my life down in place of yours. But how did he get past the pain of the ugly? How did he do that? Well, he's the Son of God. He was a man seeking the will of the Father. He was and is and always will be the Son of God. But God sent his only begotten Son in the form of you and I, a body, just like you and I. And the word says he became sin who knew no sin. He became flesh. And he had to do something in order to get you and I where we are supposed to be today, new creatures, born again, filled with the Spirit. He had to do something. And what he did in the Garden of Gethsemane. Miracles, signs, wonders. Most of us have probably seen a little bit of all of them. I've had the honor of seeing God do incredible things that I've walked out the door staggering, going, how great is God that he could take this piece of meat that wouldn't know any better and he could glorify himself through it. How incredible is that? When you hold on to a memory of the past, you hold on to it. It doesn't hold on to you. Memories don't have the power to hold on to you. You have the power to determine the conclusion. You hold on or you let go. So don't blame God and don't tell God about the pain you're having. I mean, you can, and he knows and he understands. And God is merciful and God is kind, but don't talk to him like he doesn't know what it's like to lose a son, because he does. Don't talk to him like he doesn't know what it's like to lose a daughter, because he does. All were created by him and for him and through him were all things created, and he is the father of us all. Ponder that for a minute. Next time you try to tell God how he doesn't understand your pain, how he doesn't understand you, how it's difficult for you. He loves you with a perfect love. So how did Jesus do what he did when God is holy? Thank God he's holy. Thank God he doesn't come down to the level of emotions and understanding the way you want him to understand, or else there would never be any peace of mind. Because it's only in the mind of Christ, it's only by the revelation of who he is on the inside of you that empowers you to really be free. In everything, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. How many of you have went through things and you thought, there's not a chance in the world that this is working out for good? There's not a chance. So it has to be Diablo's fault. I mean, the devil must be attacking me. He must be having his way with me. So then I have to consider that God just backed up and said, go for it. Well, he did it. He did it. He did it with Job. No, actually, he didn't do that with Job. The word said God did what he did. And all things, every power, every authority, like Paul said, a thorn was given to me in my flesh, a messenger of Satan. And God said, you don't need it rebuked. You need to go beyond the pain. More than that, you need to find the conclusion. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. Paul says, how did Paul do what he did? Or how did he do what he do? He did it by... He did it by saying this. He said, I don't claim to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. I press forward for the mark, the prize, the high calling of God. And what did he do? He said, a thorn was given to me. Well, that was the devil. Okay. It doesn't matter what you think it is. All that matters is what the conclusion is. How did Jesus do what he did? How did Paul do what he did? He looked beyond the ugly and saw the conclusion. All things work together for good. That's the conclusion. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, if you're a sinner and you refuse to surrender to Christ and your will is your treasure, your will does not serve you well. It cannot serve you well. It does you harm. Hell and destruction are never full, the scriptures tell us. So the eyes of man are never satisfied. What is that saying? It's saying your will doesn't do you well. But God's will does. Paul said, this was done so I would not become arrogant, high-minded, self-willed, because of all the revelation that I received. So what did God do? God filled him with insight and revelation to the mysteries and the treasures of Christ. And in the natural mind, the will of man wants to take on that attitude of arrogance. Look what I know. And Paul said, hey, I'm younger than my elders, of course. And he said, but I know more than they know. He did have a revelation beyond those that he was learned under, that taught him, because God gave him the revelation of the kingdom of God. But the power behind Paul, the power in your freedom, the power to heal you of your pain, isn't trying to take vengeance, isn't trying to forget. It isn't replacing one thing for another. It's doing the one thing God gave you as a treasure to bring to the altar. It's making an offering of your will. Jesus said it like this, not my will, but your will be done. How did he do? How did he look beyond all the ugly? He healed and they wanted to kill him. He spoke life and they called him a devil. He exposed the nature and the love and the power of God, and they said he had demons. How do you look beyond that? How do you look beyond people trying to kill you, wanting to kill you, and then trying to bait you, trying to trap you in order to do something right that only God could do, and then call you a devil? What kind of mind does that? A mind that holds on to their will. A mind that has a vast, empty hole right in the center of who they are, and they don't know who they are. Only the will of the Father can satisfy. Only the will of God can heal the pain. By the miraculous wonder of God, when the will of the Father enters into you, how do we get there? He said, come to me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. freedom contention, freedom from contention, freedom from fighting, freedom from the war of your mind. Take my yoke on you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and you'll find rest to your soul. When you try to find restitution and resolve by trying to figure out how and why and how you're going to get, God never asked you to work it out. He asked you to believe. And he said, I will change your mind. Paul, Romans 12:1. I beseech you by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice. That life is only in Christ. Holy, acceptable unto God. That's a reckoning that takes place in the heart, and only the Spirit of God can reveal that to you. He didn't say, bring yourself. People, all, you know, I've heard people many times say, you know, bring yourself, God will accept you as you are. No, of course he won't accept you as you are. He will repent you as you are and change you into who he's created you to be. He will repent you. Come to the altar. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. When you come before the Lord with all your dirt, he brings you to repentance. And then he transforms you, because our God is a holy God. He doesn't entertain our ideas of sin, because he's a holy God. And if he wasn't, we'd all be dead. Even if we were living, breathing, and eating, we'd still be dead. But because of the life of who Christ is, it's not by it, my preaching won't make it happen. I don't have the power to change your mind, but I have the power to bear witness to a changed mind. I don't have the power to express, to show you, to be God before you, but I have the power to believe the conclusion is Christ in me is the hope of glory, that I've put on Christ, that I am a new creation, that I don't reflect the image of man, I reflect the image of God. Isn't that what he's called us to do? And here's the reason, here's the only reason that it works that way, is because God didn't make you in some other image. He made you in his image. And to everything, there are counterparts. In order for anything to work, there are counterparts. There are measurements. There are formulas. There is continuity to the atom, to every molecule. Something has to connect, because God connects everything by his will and his purpose, and that's what makes you whole. His will and his purpose. And anybody and everyone can do it. He made it easy. He didn't say you have to be this way, you have to be that way. He said you have to believe this way. You have to believe that I am he who loved you. And who loves you? You have to believe that your will never satisfy you. Don't ask God to fulfill your will. Ask him to fulfill his will in you. And watch how your mind begins to change. Watch how you're at. You can't do it. All you can remember is what you don't like. All you can remember, you hold on to the pain because your will is so important to you. And God knows that. It's a treasure. You know what a treasure is? Something that's very rare. If there's a lot of it, no matter what it can do, water really is a treasure. But there's so much of it, we don't think about it that way. Unless you're out in the middle of the desert and you don't have any. It's a treasure. It's a treasure. Something that Jesus said it like this. He said, the kingdom of God is like a treasure hidden. Kingdom of God wouldn't mean much to anyone. They saw the kingdom of God. They saw the one and only Lord in Christ. They saw the Son of Almighty God. They saw the first, the last, the beginning and the end. They saw the wonders of God, and their will denied his power. It isn't about how much God does for you. It isn't about how many prayers God answers for you. It's about how much you believe he is God in you. It's about how much you believe that I am born of God, because he is the fullest. He is the greatness. He is God, so God and so great, you can't see him. You can't reach out and touch him. You can't explain why, what, when, and where, because God wants you to know a power that supersedes your ability to bring your own resolve. He said, my will is that I would do exceeding abundant and beyond all you know to ask or think. And what would happen if the body of Christ, they that believe that he is the one and only, what would happen if we really believed what we say we believe? What resolve can we bring to the world? We're going to see, because God is raising up a generation of people that just believe, as Paul taught. It's really not I that lives, it's Christ that lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Paul said this, he said, we should be considered as servants of Christ, talking about the ministry, the ministers, the disciples. He said, we should be considered as servants of Christ, stewards of the mystery of God. Breathe that in. Do you want to be healed? Or do you want to be angry? Do you want to be free? Or do you want an excuse? Is the pain enough that you want to get rid of it? Or is it just enough you want to hold on to it? And even if it's not enough, it's not enough pain that you think you can go ahead and bear it, but be miserable with it, then consider this, there's a better way. There's a better way. There's a better life. There's a better truth. There's only one truth. Jesus is what we need in order to walk in the fullness. We need the truth. God spoke to me years ago and he said, I'm going to make them, meaning leaders and nations, I'm going to make them tell the truth. You haven't seen the half of it yet. You watch and see what God is doing. When I see evil rising up, I don't get upset. I get excited. Because I know it's the only way you can get the church out of bed, stand up, and declare the truth. Until then, they just want to rest and be asleep and be at peace and everything running smooth. Then you never enjoy anything unless you fight the fight of faith. Not fight demons, not fight devils. Jesus took care of that. But you fight the good fight of faith. You're willing to lay your life down. You stop talking about how hard it is, and you just do it. We do a lot of things that's hard. When we want to lose a little weight, we resist a lot of food. We want to feel a little stronger, we lift heavy weight. We do a lot of hard things. When you want to make money, you have to get up and go to work. We do a lot of hard things. How much do we value the Word of God? If it was effort, would you put it in? If it was hard, would you go the distance? If it was a race, would you run it? The question is, you want to see God, why don't you? And the answer is why don't you? He said, if you ask, it's going to happen. But you're going to have to believe that I am who I say I am. And if you do, he said, if you believe me, if you love me, he said, you'll do what I say. He said, you'll lay your life down. You'll lay your will down. How do we do that? God, I don't even know how to figure this out, but not my will, your will. Jesus said, pray like this. Our Father, Holy Father, great God, who are in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. God, your will be done. All things work together for good. There's something you can't explain about every experience that you've had, or maybe just some of them, but God can. God knows what it's going to take to get you where you want to be, no matter how much you dislike it. God knows what it's going to take to bring you to a place where you surrender your will. God is going to bring you to places and times in your life to reveal how great He is in you so you can overcome the ugly and the pain and see the beauty and the glory and the power and the passion so you can say, it is no longer I that lives, but Christ is alive in me. When His blood touched this earth, it was the power to change you. It was the power to give the conclusion into your hands. That's why he said, you will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come on you. And then, great, I have the power now to get what I need, to do what I want, to see God do. I have the power. No, he said, you'll receive power, and when you do, that power is for you to bear witness of me. That's where the freedom is. That's where the healing is. That's where the joy is. That's where the this is the greatest day of your life is. I don't believe in the ugly as the conclusion. I believe in the beauty as the conclusion. And guess what? In that, I find my great peace. I don't believe in the pain as the conclusion. The unexplainable as the conclusion. I believe all things work together for good. There is an answer. There is a resolve. There is a reason greater than the pain. There is an answer greater than the memory. Jesus looked beyond my ugly and saw my conclusion. and said, no matter how evil or ugly his will is, my will in him is greater than his ugly. My beauty in him is greater than his ugly. My peace in him is greater than his pain. So I'll look beyond all the ugly. I'm looking for the conclusion. It's called the predestined will of God. And God saw your conclusion. And the word says he calls to everyone, everyone, and says, if you will believe. Don't give it a chance. It's not a roll of the dice. You do that every day of your life. This is really believing God is God and not he's going to help you through. God does not entertain your sin. He doesn't entertain your memory of your ugly past. Let me say it like this. He doesn't like it. The word says that Christ is seated on the right hand of the Father so he can stand to look at us, so he can bear us. And he looks at Christ and he says, that's who they are. They come through you. For God so loved the world, how? He looked at his Son. And he said, all things were created by him, through him, and for him. And without him was not anything made that was made. He is your conclusion. You don't have to believe it, but you should. Because he is, and that'll never change. Being born again is a commitment where you just say, God, I don't want my will. I want your will. It's a simple prayer. But it's more than a prayer. It's a commitment. That's what he said. You want to follow me? This isn't you rehearsing of how bad you were and how bad this was. Trust me, God knows the pain. And you continue to rehearse your pain and you'll continue to hold on to your pain. Don't blame God because you won't let go, because he's certainly willing to take it from you. He's certainly willing to take away your ugly past, your hatred, your strife, the bitterness that you can't get over, the jealousy that you just can't let go of, even though you really, really want to. You'll never do it on your own. It'll never really be gone. Because your will drive it home. Your will tell you how unjust they treated you, what someone took from you, how they dishonored, disrespected, without reason. Your will always tell you the worst of your life. But the will of God will tell you the best. Someone has got to stand up and say, this is the greatest season of your life. Someone has to stand up like David and says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Someone has to conclude Psalms 23 by saying, only good will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What is that good? God the Father, Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, the Redeemer, eternal life, eternal peace. How can you compare that to a moment of time that you didn't like, to a moment of time that was devastating, to a moment of time that was painful? When God gives us the eternity and the principles and the power of his will, he's given us the authority to declare the conclusion from right here. So we say things like, this is the day God has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. I really will worship the Lord. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. That's tough. That's tough when you're holding on to something. That's tough when you're holding on to jealousy and bitterness. Someone stole your wife. Someone stole your husband. Someone stole your children. Someone made them hate you. And the list goes on and on and on and on and on. Well, let's just look at the ugly. Let's just talk about it. Let's talk about how unjust, how bad, how we, let's just do that and let's just stay there and let's blame God for it. Or the neighbor, or the wife, or the husband. Let's just stay there. You stay there if you want. But God offers a better way. He says, come to me and I will set you free. I'll show you who you are, because you don't know, and you know you don't know, because there's a part in every single human being no matter how much you have or how little you have, that says something is missing. I know what it is because I've been there. But I do testify, I know what the peace of God that surpasses understanding. I know the pain of death, but I can't remember what it felt like. And even if I remember the experience, if I remember the matter, what fills me is the conclusion. So I know that it works. I know what rejection is. I know what heartache is. I know what fighting is. I know what demon devil chasing. I know what darkness coming into the room. I know what it all is. And God said, I'll take you someplace where you can look beyond that and it'll never bother you again. I said, I'll take that. And he said, then take the thing you hold the most precious and make it an offering to me. Give me your will. Easiest thing I've ever done in my life, and I do it daily. And it is the power of peace. It is the power of transformation. It is the power of joy. And the reason I'm saying me today is because he told me to. Because he said, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you bear witness of me. So I'm doing what I'm told. And I like the way it feels. I like the peace. Even though I can remember the pain, I can't feel the suffering. He'll do that for you. A memory is no longer a nuisance. You now have power over it. As long as you held the pain of that divorce rule your life, every relationship will carry that pain, no matter who they are. You ever notice a repeat? You think, oh, it's just the wrong person. No, it's the wrong will. It just keeps leading you down the same road. It's not really the pain that hurts so much, especially when the pain is gone. It's the memory of the will. Holds on to it. But to release that is to be free. Anybody and everybody can do it because that's what we were made to do. That's why we have a will. We have a will to bring it as an offering before the Father. Jesus said it like this. He said, it's a mystery. It's a treasure. A treasure. A treasure. And he said, bring it to me. The offering God wants is the offering you are. And Jesus showed that. He said, I'm laying down my life for you. Now you lay down your will for me. And if you do it, I'll give you my life. If you find your life, if you find your will, you're going to lose the true life. But if you lose it, you'll find it. Seek and you will find. The scripture says, if you ask, it says God will answer and he will. But we look for the wrong thing to come through the wrong will and we miss the treasure and the glory and the favor and the honor and the blessing of God. And you don't even know it's in your grasp. That's why we grab that rope all the time. Represents the kingdom of God. Where is it? Right here. The literal Greek is the kingdom of God is in your grasp and it's a powerful hold. With it, you can pull down a mind of peace. The pain of the divorce, the pain of loss, the pain of whatever the pain is, somehow, without explanation, turns into something else. Explain it. I can't except to say, he is all things. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the rose of Sharon, a lot of stench in the world, but I look for the fragrance of the rose. Now that irritates flesh, and I get that, but it excites the spirit. And the spirit of life is what we are. He created us that way. He's called the invisible God because he's a treasure, but he is manifested through you and I. It's his choice. He made it that way. How great is God? How great is he that he loves us so much, he wants to share what he is, who he is, how he is, and that he is. And he asked you to give the one thing to him that was only given to you to do so with. Make it an offering. How much do we talk about me, I, us, I want, I do? How many times you say, God, only thing I want is your will. Your will, oh God. Watch your mind transform. That's letting go of the pain. Praying it and meaning it. God, don't satisfy me. Make me pleasing to you. Make me a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you, which is my true worship. Have you worshiped today? Have you worshiped today? We came to church, sang some cool songs. A lot of folks watching right now, but have you worshiped today? Do you know what worship is? My will, God, for yours. Here's my gift, and you gave it to me. I surrender my pain. I seek you. I surrender my will. I need you. Psalmist says, as the deer pants after the water brook, so my soul longs for you. You know what that means? I'm as thirsty for you as I would be if I were in the desert without water. That's where what you're looking for is. No matter what you think or how hard you try, it doesn't exist anyplace else. He is the fullness of all things. And I'm here to tell you that this is the greatest day of your lives. Give the Lord praise this morning. I will say of the Lord, He is my God. He is my fortress. He is my shield. He is my comfort. Would you stand with me, please? A few nights ago, I had a really incredible dream. It was incredible to me. What it means to you and what it means to me are probably two totally different things. But I woke up. It was, and this is all it was. It was just a matter of seconds. I woke up, and the Holy Spirit was speaking through me. I mean, it wasn't like I was talking and being obedient. It was God speaking through me. I couldn't control it. I had nothing to do with it. God just speaking through me. And I got up and I ran to my wife and I said, Donna, and this is in the dream vision, what sometimes it's difficult for me to tell what they are. But I ran to Donna and I said, the Holy Spirit spoke through me. And she said, I said, no, He spoke through me. Like I opened my mouth and this incredible language came out of me and I woke up. And so I did what I did in the dream. I went and said, I had this incredible dream. Because it happened, guys, it happened. It was a dream, but it was a spirit. It happened to me. And it made me realize something that I've been saying I believe. God speaks through me. God speaks through you. Believe the Lord. He'll lead you. He'll put your ear right where you need to hear what you need to hear without you doing anything. He'll just do it. Because He wants to bring the change that you desperately need. Because He loves you so much. So much. So much. So much. He just loves you so much. So this rope represents one simple little thing. To me, it's a reminder of how close the kingdom of God is. Because when they asked Jesus, where is it? He said, it's in you. So this simply represents I'm tied to the kingdom. And I wanted a big, strong rope. This came from Israel. And it's been burnt, baptized, so it would be soft. And it was a gift to me when I was in Israel from a new friend. And it represents the love of God to me. It represents the kindness of the Lord. It represents the baptism. It represents the fire of the Spirit. It represents the strength. The Word says, whatever we release from the earth is released from the heavens of God. But you can't be just a prayer. It has to be the will of the Father speaking through you. And that's what that dream was to me. And it came as God gave me the word of His will. And I felt what it felt like, and I believe it because it was as real to me as this is. And only God can do that. And that's for you. This is your gift. This is your gift. This is your day. This is your greatest season. And all you have to do is see it, say it, and seize it. It's a gift from God. Let's pray together. Father, we give you praise. And we pray right now. Hear, O heavens. Give ear, O earth. That's me and you. Say, give ear, O earth. Hear the word of the Lord. For the Lord God is with you. The Lord God strengthen you. Today, God, free your mind from whatever pain, whatever doubt, whatever it is, whatever it is you're walking into and walking through. There are people in the house today that have pain you can't figure out. Anger failed you. Hatred failed you. Shutting off, shutting out, ignoring, bearing, it's all failed you. God doesn't want to resurrect the problem. He wants to resurrect you. And when we lay down our lives, it's the life God's given us. In all honesty, I didn't call out this body, nor did my mom, nor did my dad. God did. And the same with you. These are the temples of the Holy Ghost. They don't belong to us. They're God's. So don't try to explain to God how much pain you're in. He knows. This belongs to Him. This is His body. No one made it. None of us called ourselves out. God did it all. So we surrender that back. And in that, the love, the healing, the power, the peace of God, beyond explanation, transforms you, heals you, sets you free, and gives you peace. And in that peace is great power. You can walk in the fullness of who you've been called to be. Find your way. Find your peace. Find your reckoning. So I'm calling today to everyone in this house and to those that are viewing, I'm calling for a day of repentance and a day of salvation. Repent, therefore, everyone, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Would you pray with me? Say, Jesus, I seek you. I receive you. I receive the gift you've given to me that's beyond my comprehension, but I receive it by faith. Fill me, forgive me, change me, and make me whole. Be glorified in me and through me, and lead me in the way that I am to go. Make me a witness, a great witness to the people around me. If you're a dad, a great father to my children. If you're a mom, a great mother to my children. If you're a leader, a great leader to the people. But God, it is of you, through you, and to you. By your Spirit and by your power, I surrender my will. Say that with me. I surrender my will for yours. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in me as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, I pray. And everybody shouted. Give the Lord a shout in the house. Great is the Lord. Great is God to be praised. I'm not going to ask a question. I'm going to say this with me as a revelation. I get it. Say, I get it. Say, the Spirit of the Lord is after me. You are pursuing me. It's so plain to see. Not with my eyes, but by faith. And there's only one thing I have to do. That's surrender to you. Spirit of the Lord. We're going to sing it. Come on. Sing it like, this is the greatest day of your life. Delivered you from sin and strife. Chosen you to be. All He's created you to know, to do, and to see. And we glorify the Lord, the King of Kings, the one and only God, the one and only Christ, the one and only Spirit of the living God that fills us. Come on. Clap your hands, all you people. Come on. Pull some joy down today. pull some peace down today. It's time for you to remember you have the power to determine the conclusion. Come on.